Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The radio home of the Buffalo Sabres. This is the Buffalo Sabres postgame show, live from KeyBank Center. Here's your host, Brian Cozio.
Sabres work it up top. Rasmus Dahlin inside on Verhaeghe. Joki Haru opens up for the shot. Scores! Let's go, says Henry Joki Haru as he lets that one rip at 88.1 miles per hour. 3-1 Sabres.
Henry Joki Haru early in the second, 1:34 in, gave Buffalo a 3-1 lead, and that actually turned out to be your game-winning goal. The goal of the game brought to you by Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center. Early detection of cancer is our goal. Get in the game at roswellpark.org/WGR. Welcome to the post game. Brian Colziel, Pat Mullicaro, Paul Hamilton all coming up here along the way as Buffalo wins it 5-2 to pick up their first win of the season. A very good, solid, all-around team effort. 12 different Sabres with points in this one. A solid net performance from Devon Levi. He makes 23 saves. And Buffalo taking advantage of the fact that Florida had some of their best players out, taking advantage of maybe a goaltender that could be a little rusty as well, coming back playing in the NHL for the first time since February. So they did what they had to do, and I thought their effort and energy throughout was very, very solid. Still not perfect. The power play still needs some work, but you beat the defending champions, whether they have the full lineup or even minus a few players, you're going to take it every time. And Buffalo getting their first win here now to improve to 1-3 on the season. Next up is a three-game road trip that will start on Wednesday in Pittsburgh against the Penguins, followed by a Thursday game in Columbus and a Saturday game in Chicago. So that's the upcoming week schedule, but Buffalo getting it done here tonight. And again, first period, Sabres came out with some pretty good energy, couldn't score, and then Florida got on the board first, but it did not faze the Sabres. They really kind of kept that energy going and got goals from Greenway and Thompson. Greenway was excellent tonight. He was named the first star in this one. Just his work ethic, his energy, and his presence around the net was very well felt. And on that goal, of course, he's around the net, roofs one under the bar to get the Sabres tied up at one. And then 41 seconds later, that's when Thompson comes in and fires it from the circle. And Knight kind of let that one scoot through. And Samuelson later had one that dribbled through. So a night that the Sabres did take advantage of Spencer Knight not having his best game in front of 16,644. All right, live to the room we go. Here's Tage Thompson with Paul Hamilton.
Well, Tage, you guys put a lot of hard work into the last game, and it didn't work out for you. You didn't get rewarded. Same thing, though, tonight. You once again, it seemed like you guys put a lot of hard work into it, and it must have been nice to be rewarded.
It was great. Obviously, last game, I thought we had a great game, and sometimes the puck doesn't bounce your way, and you run into a hot goalie or whatever. But I think I liked their process throughout that game, and I think that was a message coming in tonight, not to change anything and get frustrated. I think we knew if we just repeated what we did the night before, we'd get results, and I think that's at the end of the day got to be our mindset going into every game, is not worrying about the results. They'll take care of themselves, and we keep playing hockey like that, we're going to be in good shape.
What did you think about the way the group reacted when you guys fell behind 1-0 there?
Yeah, it's a great response. We felt comfortable. There was no panic in our game. I think even in the third, a two-goal lead, it's against the defending cup champions, they know how to claw their way back into games, and I thought we really didn't give them a whole lot. We were above them. We were on the D side of pucks. We won 50-50 battles, and Levi made some big saves when he needed to. So that's what you need, and that's the effort we got collectively as a group tonight.
Is it really the hard work in all three zones that really has been successful for you, especially in this game?
Yeah, I think, you know, hockey itself is a game. If you don't play the right way, you know, usually things don't go your way. And I think you pay attention to those details and you play hockey the right way and battle and compete. Typically it wears on the other team and eventually they crack, and I thought we frustrated them tonight and you know, didn't give them a whole lot.
You guys have been looking for some puck luck, like you said. What was it like to see that shot, you know, leak through them, and 40 seconds later you guys have two quick goals?
Yeah, it's nice. You know, you get one, you start to feel good, especially after a night where you feel like you could have had a few, and goalie robs you, or you just get a little unlucky. I think that's where you just gotta stick with it. You don't change anything, don't look for extra passes. And I think for me, that was kind of my focus tonight, was to keep shooting pucks and going to the net, and stuff from there will open up. And I think fortunately for us tonight, it did.
How'd you characterize what Jordan Greenway brings out there?
Yeah, he had a great game. Big body, works extremely hard. I think when he's holding on to pucks and take them to the net, it forces the other team to either take a penalty or you know, he's all alone, like you see on the first goal there that he scores. Great finish by him. And I loved his game away from the puck too tonight. Like, you know, he's in guys' face. He's getting little holdups on guys, making it tough for them to forecheck. That stuff that wears on you over time, you know, being on the other side of it when you're getting picked or you don't have an easy lane on a forecheck or whatever, it frustrates you. And playing against him is definitely is difficult. So when he's going like that tonight, it's a big bonus for our team.
Is it nice to also see a guy like Peyton Krebs? He got his opportunity finally and took advantage of it. I mean, worked hard all night. Is it nice to see that for him?
Yeah, I love Krebs. He works his nuts off. Very deserving. He's always putting in extra work before, after practice. And you know, I liked his confidence tonight. You know, he gets an opportunity to play, and he's not afraid to make plays. And that's what you want to see. You know, you don't want to see him being nervous or gripping a stick. And I thought he had a great game. Same thing with the puck, without the puck. He was responsible. I think, you know, you can point at anyone up and down the lineup tonight and say the same thing about them. But yeah, I thought he had a great game.
You know, when teams go into slumps from time to time, three games, it's not that big a deal in the middle of the year. How tough have the last 36 hours been that it was the first three out of the gate here?
Yeah, mentally it's always tough. But I think inside this room, I don't know if you would even really call it a slump. Obviously 0-3 sucks, right? You don't want to get off to that start. But I think if you look at the games, the first one in Jersey was a solid game. Face Markstrom makes a lot of good saves. The second game, we would have liked to have that one back, but then you look at LA, it's a great game, and tonight. So I think we're playing good hockey. Obviously, we couldn't find the back of the net in the first three games, but that'll come. That comes in waves, and I think if you're playing hockey the right way on the other side of the puck, those games will eventually turn for you. And I think, like I said, sticking with the process and not straying when things don't go your way. So I liked our mindset in this room. We were positive. We weren't down on ourselves, and I think that's a good thing moving forward. It speaks to the character in the room.
How encouraging is it that you were able to hit that repeat button and get a similar game? And, you know, you're still in a new system and all that, just to be able to do that so early in the season.
Yeah, I mean, that was a huge game for us tonight. Like, we knew we needed to win that one. And I think everyone stepped up. That it'd be easy to put a lot of pressure on yourself and kind of cave on that and panic, especially when you're, you know, down one early. And we didn't do that. We had a lot of composure, and I think that speaks volumes to the guys in the room and the confidence and the belief in each other that we know we're going to win. So, like I said earlier, just keep playing the game the right way, play hard, and the results will follow. So it's just something we got to continue to do every single night and not take any off.
Thanks, Tage. Thanks, Thompson. Tage. And Brian, we'll keep it right here because Jordan Greenway is in the room here, so I will just walk over to Jordan. Jordan, it seemed like you've put a lot of hard. You look tired, but it seemed like it's because you put a lot of hard work into that hockey game. How did you feel out there?
Yeah, it was a tough game. You know, that's a good team we just played. You know, they didn't have their full roster maybe, but that's a really good team that we just played, and they made it hard. But, you know, I thought we responded, you know, well. We played a good game, especially, you know, we didn't score I don't think we scored in the third, but we did what we needed to do in the third to make sure that we came out with a win, and that's really important.
Are you at your best when it's a hard, gritty game like that?
I mean, Yeah. You know, I try and be good, whether it's a hard game or any, you know.
I mean, that's your style, though, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, that's what you like.
Yeah, I do. I do. I like playing a physical game. I like, you know, they just won the cup last year, you know. So you come out here, you get up for those games. So, maybe when things get tough, I like to rise to the occasion, I guess.
Between some of the injuries you guys have had the last, you know, week or so, the unusual schedule going into the season, you know, just that adversity, what can that do for a group, you know, especially at the start of the year to face that now?
Yeah, you know, typically everyone goes through it at some point, maybe a couple times. I think it speaks volumes to our team that, you know, the start we had, everything that kind of went on, and we stuck to it. You know, we've... you know, I don't want to go to the last game, but you know, we've been building our game. We've been pretty happy with, you know, how we've been playing overall. Of course, there's things that we can do better, build, but you know, it was good that we went through what we did. We're learning from it. We're becoming a really good team.
How much was your goal just about causing chaos down low?
Yeah. You know, to be honest, I don't know exactly how the whole thing unfolded, but I know, you know, we had a great forecheck. Krebsy got in there kind of bouncing around, and I was in the right spot at the right time and found a way to put it in. Yeah.
Backhand bar down.
That backhand in the net, yeah.
Do you like, you know, a player like Peyton Krebs, who doesn't always get the opportunity? He got the opportunity today, and to see him be able to take advantage of that like he did with the hard work?
Absolutely. You know, with injuries, with the way the, you know, shuffling lines, all this stuff, you know, there's going to be guys that, you know, we need to step up. Everyone's got to find a way to make an impact. But, yeah, I mean, him specifically, he found a way to have an impact tonight, and that's big. Kudos to him for sure.
Did you guys just feel, if you said you didn't want to talk too much about the last game, but if you play like that, you're going to come out better with wins more times than not?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, yeah, we'll take our chances playing the way that we have in the last two games. I think, you know, more times than not, we're going to come out on top. And that just has to be our focus. We have to continue to, you know, play a smart hockey game, you know, keep things simple, you know, and eventually when we start to wear a team down, we can, our skill can take over. But some games are going to call for, you know, a gritty win, and we found a way to adjust and to play that style tonight, and huge win.
What's this like for you playing at this kind of like a high confidence level right now? Because your game's been very good over these four games.
How does it feel? Is that the question? Confidence is a great thing to have, you know, I think, you know, especially from a win like this, you know, our team should definitely have some confidence. And, you know, I mean, yeah, for me specifically, it's always nice to have confidence for sure. But, you know, it comes from doing the right things, all, you know, everyone, doing the right things, playing the right way. So, you know, I think a lot of guys are playing with confidence right now. And like I said, it's a good thing to have.
How much urgency could you sense from the group coming into this game tonight?
I mean, yeah, a lot, you know. We felt that, you know, like I said, we've been playing well, and, you know, we wanted to come out here and continue and do the same thing, build off what we did last game, and, you know, get a win. And guys were fired up before the game, into the game. Guys were, you know, going on the bench, talking. You know, it's just a sign that everyone's into the game. Everyone is kind of has the same goal, and we're all playing as one. And that's what allowed us to beat a really good team.
Thank you, Jordan.
Jordan Greenway on the post game. Brian, back to you.
All right, Jordan Greenway, excellent tonight. First star He gets the scoring going for Buffalo, which made it a 1-1 game. Then Thompson, Yoki Haru, and Samuelson put Buffalo out in front 4-1, and eventually Alex Tuck seals it into the empty net, making it a 5-2 final. All right, we're expecting Lindy Ruff here shortly, as the Sabres getting it done by a score of 5-2. But at this time, we're going to say goodbye to all of our local affiliate stations. If you want to keep listening to the broadcast, go to WGR550.com or on the Odyssey app. And for all of you on our flagship here in Buffalo, more postgame coming up. We'll get Lindy Ruff. We'll have Paul Hamilton's take. We'll run you through some highlights, update you on the scoreboard. We'll also hear Paul's conversation with Rob Ray as he's going into the Buffalo Sabres Hall of Fame. That'll be coming up at the end of the postgame. 5-2, Sabres get their first win of the season over Florida. I'm Brian Colesiel. Thanks for listening. We'll take a timeout. This is the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network. Sabres, or sorry, 5-2, Brian Colesiel. We're going to interrupt the commercial because Lindy Ruff's come to the podium. Let's take you there live.
Lead, and I thought we played really well in the third period, played a real smart period. Really didn't give them anything, didn't give up any big opportunities. And, you know, with them putting risk in their game, we still had, you know, three or four really good opportunities to score. So put a lot of work into it, and it was great to see everybody get rewarded.
Did you really sense an urgency with the group that even though it's game four that they really wanted this one?
Well, you know, I sensed the same type of urgency last game. You know, you could get frustrated, you could deviate, but I thought our guys were pretty locked in to trying to play the right way, and for the most part, I thought for 60 minutes, we did. We got rewarded. I thought, you know, a couple goals maybe they wouldn't like going in, but we hit the net and they went in. They haven't been going in.
Talked a lot about Greenway since training camp, but the first goal, an example of the way he causes chaos, and it really got you guys going.
Yeah, we didn't have a lot of in-tight plays like that last game. Our focus this morning, really in our meeting, was about trying to get inside that, you know, that little area in front of the net, try to make what we call a few more slip plays where we can get in tight and create, you know, instead of that outside dot shot, try to get in between the dots for a few more. And I thought he just had an awesome night from start to finish, effort-wise. And I mean, the effort from everybody was good. It was just, I think his night really showed what we're trying to be about. He's just an incredibly smart player. I mean, his stick is incredible. I mean, even last game, the 5-on-3, he had a little bit of a bad break. He got his stick. The reason we had him out there, he's one of the top guys when it comes to reading plays and getting the stick in the right place. You know, I think Tucker's the same type of way. He's got a great stick. You look at the empty net goal, great stick, and end up jumping by. But his value from penalty killing to the way he can play against top personnel is really important to our club.
11-7, what made you change up the lineup a bit? And just with 3 days between games, I mean, did that give you an opportunity to maybe play some guys more than you would normally?
That was the exact thinking, was to address Gilbert just for physicality if we needed it. My approach was going to be to try to play three lines. With days off coming up, to load up and know that all the guys could empty the tank.
Coach, the power play is still scoreless. The entry seems to be an issue. Why the insistence to carry it in rather than to dump?
Great question. We talked about it's a read when you're coming up ice. I think if you looked at last game, we entered at 73%, really good. Tonight against a team that is really good at denying entries, we made some poor decisions. The plan was if we don't get in on the first attempt, then the next one was going to be a rim and you go to work. I think they saw something a little different a couple times, and it's just something we got to keep working on.
He's going to grab an opportunity to play, and then did he just make it so you had to play him? I mean, the way he was going, and did you say, look, we got to go with this guy, he's doing well?
Yeah, I think during the game, you look at, you know, who was going really good. He was going good, and I thought, again, if Thompson got kicked out of the faceoff circle I liked his bite once he got inside the dot. I thought his puck tenacity. I mean, this is just my opinion, and I don't think Benson's 100%. He's playing, but for me, he doesn't look 100% yet. So I just thought we'll give Krebs a look there, and I thought he was really good tonight.
Is that why you shortened everything up?
Yeah, it was really the only reason. Three lines, and then I don't think it's fair to a player after you've been sitting maybe 10 minutes to get thrown out cold. So if you make a decision to go with three lines, then you're going to make a decision to go most of the night with three lines.
That was good tonight when you used them.
Yeah. Again, our goaltending's been good. It made good saves. We need good. You're going to need good saves. We had a little sloppy stretch here where we kind of traded a couple rush opportunities, and he made some high quality saves for us. Not unlike the goaltenders we've played that have, you know, kept their teams in it. You need key saves because there's not a team out there that can play flawless hockey.
Coach, the line of Quinn, Cousins, Kulik, they didn't score tonight, but they were effective. What have you liked from them?
Yeah, I think the speed, I think some of the plays they made. You look at the early chances that Quinn had, I really like the way Kulik is skating. He missed what would have been his wheelhouse one-timer on the power play. He's got a bomb. I thought the line gave us a good night. Probably didn't get rewarded enough for it, but gave us a really good night.
Coach, what were some of the things you saw in Florida's game that you was able to expose to be successful tonight?
Well, we knew that they were going to be heavy on the forecheck, and if we could just get the puck by them on the walls, that we could create some odd-numbered situations, and that if we got people up above them and we were able to hit a couple guys for breakaways and get in behind, they play an aggressive game. And when they're on their game, they're a hard team to play. So if you execute, you're going to get it. If you don't, you can have something coming back at you that you don't like too.
Rob Ray's in the Sabres Hall of Fame going in now. You were a teammate of his. You coached him. What does he mean to the community and the Sabres?
You know, I think he means everything. I mean, he's been here forever. I think when you look at Rob as from a playing career standpoint, he's the one guy that was there for everybody. He's the one guy that, I use this line, created a safe working environment for everybody. And everybody enjoys that, right? So, you know, your skill guys have this guy that creates this safe working environment, which makes it a lot better for everybody. And by creating that safe working environment, it creates a pretty comforting feeling for the coach, too. For him to be a Sabre all those years and then get into, you know, the broadcast stuff and get in between, I think his commentating has really grown. His work with RJ, I think, is those two played off each other unbelievable. And when you think of Buffalo, you think of Rob Ray now for sure.
I was talking about special. Does this win feel more special than the first time you won years ago, being back?
This one was like a stress reliever. when you don't win the previous one, you're hoping your team doesn't tighten up. We talked about just staying with the program, and we're going to continue with the program. And we know we got work to do. But I thought our guys were focused in. The energy was great on the bench. And I think with a day off coming, getting rewarded for the way we played is a good thing. Thank you.
All right, that is Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff. Some kind words about his team, some kind words about Rob Ray, and well, he's got to be happy that they get the win. 5-2 the final. Buffalo now 1-3 on the season. They'll be at Pittsburgh to open up a three-game road stand on Wednesday. Hey, if you're listening on your drive home, we appreciate it. Hope you enjoyed the game here at KeyBank Center. 16,644 the attendance. Your drive home from the game brought to you by Paddock Chevrolet, with you for the extra mile. All right, we'll take a timeout. When we come back here, we will get our save of the game, scores from around the league, Paul Hamilton's take, and Paul's interview with Rob Ray as he goes into the Buffalo Hall, announcing that he will go in to the Buffalo Sabres Hall of Fame. More coming up here as we go live from KeyBank Center, Buffalo over Florida, 5-2. I'm Brian Colziel. Thanks for listening. More postgame coming up in a moment. This is the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Greenway couldn't get it to the net. Back the other way is Mikkola. He'll play it onto the wing. That gets behind Bennett. The backhander by Verhaeghe. 2-on-0 in front. Levi kicks it away.
Devin Levi got the start tonight. Faced 25 shots and made 23 saves. That one is your save of the game brought to you by your Upstate Honda dealers. For all the great deals on the entire Honda lineup, visit your local Upstate Honda dealers today. Welcome back to KeyBank Center. Brian Culzie with you here on the postgame. We'll get you scores from around the NHL coming up. And also, Paul Hamilton's conversation with Rob Ray as the team announces tonight that he'll be the next member of the Buffalo Sabres Hall of Fame. Paul, in one moment, but our final stats brought to you by Level Financial Advisors, helping you retire better. Visit levelfa.com. Lindy Ruff mentioned what a smart third period they played. Florida had just 4 shots, 25 total in the game. Buffalo with 8 in the third. They end up with 27. Power plays, Sabres 0-for-3. That's still in need of some work. And Florida 1-of-2. Your Dynabrade.com power play update there, powered by Dynabrade Tools, proudly made here in Buffalo. In the nets, as we said, Levi the win with 23 saves. Spencer Knight the loss, 22 saves. Your three stars are all Sabres. Samuelson with a goal, star 3. Yoki Haru with a goal, star 2. And Jordan Greenway, who was Buffalo's best player tonight, he had a goal, star number 1. All right, let's go down to Paul Hamilton. Paul, let's start with Jordan Greenway. A goal tonight, 2 shots, 3 block shots, a hit, and a plus 4. Pretty all-around solid night for him.
Yeah, if I were picking stars, definitely my number one star. I thought he was just excellent. I keep talking about how good he is at causing turnovers. He absolutely is the best Saber at that. Tuck's very good at it, but I think Greenway is the best one they have. He gets in, causes turnovers, and creates a lot of opportunities for both himself and for others, which is good to see, and good to see him get rewarded with a goal by coming across like that and charging the net. I mean, look at the one goal against Jersey in one of those games where Thompson scored. Well, why did Thompson score? Because Greenway, Thompson, and Tuck all charged the crease, and they just would not be denied. Well, Greenway's goal tonight, great work by Krebs, who absolutely earned his ice time today. I thought he played very, very well. And as Lindy Ruff said, when you're going to go down to 3 lines, you got to make the decision to do it, and he did. But I think Krebs forced his hand a little bit too, that he had to keep playing him with the way he was playing. He was tenacious. He was hardworking in all ends of the ice. You noticed him almost every shift. I just think he had a great game. I would even say if Krebs got a star, I think he would have earned it too. So, it worked for him to have the 3 lines. Malenstein, I had mentioned in the third period, he only played twice in the game, and he hadn't played since the middle of the first period, and 4 shifts for Benson in the second period, the last one with about 16, 20, or 40, something like that, left in the period. So I saw them both on the bench, so I didn't think they were hurt, although, I mentioned to Sarah sitting next to me that, Benson had the injury, and I wonder if it's bothering him. And then Lindy Ruff actually said something in the postgame that, he doesn't look right, and that's one of the reasons why he didn't play anymore. But, again, I think Krebs forced his hand. Krebs was like, well, I want to keep playing. And he played, and he was one of the top nine guys to be able to keep playing, and did very, very well.
Paul Hamilton with us here on the postgame down in the media room. Sabres victorious by a 5-2 score. Paul, I just want to reflect on the first period, because we know the Sabres have gotten off to poor starts in terms of scoring. No goals this year in the first coming into tonight, but they come out, they put on early pressure, they kind of do what they did against the Kings. We get some good looks from some of their best players, including Jack Quinn, who had two nice looks, Tage Thompson with a look, and finally then Florida scores. And last year, quite a bit, we saw that where maybe that was kind of like a scenario where the Sabres didn't react properly. Tonight, they reacted very well. They come back with two goals and not giving up. And Jordan Greenway, I think, really talked about that quite a bit when you were speaking with him about how that response was exactly what they had to have. Even though they started well and Florida got the lead, they didn't give up on their plan.
No, absolutely. And, you know, Schmidt joined the rush late. But what I didn't like about that goal, and there was very little I didn't like about the Sabres game, is two guys sprawled. One of them was Samuelson. Samuelson, that's the second time this year that a goal has been scored when he kind of sprawled a little early. I'd sometimes maybe rather, because he has such a great reach. And I think that's why he does it, because he sprawls and uses his reach. But I almost would rather maybe he stand up a little bit, because, two guys sprawling and a guy coming late just spelled disaster on that play. But I'm being picky here because there really wasn't much to pick at as far as the Sabres game. They had another really nice game, but they got rewarded for it this time. So, the frustration can kind of leave you. And we had talked about Jack Quinn, both you and Pat and you and I, that he only had one shot on the season. I don't even think the game was seven minutes old, and he had three shot opportunities that he took. One was a good save by Knight, and it was good to see him get into the game like that and start shooting the puck the way he's capable of shooting it. So it was good to see him get involved also like that. Levi was strong. What are you going to do? Again, the defenseman coming late, and the other one was a nice pass by Reinhardt to Bennett, who just redirects the puck into the net. There's not much Levi can do on that one. So, that's Lukanen, I think, was strong last game in a 3-1 loss. I thought Levi was strong in this game in a 5-2 win, and, that's what you need is that kind of goaltending.
And a balanced effort. I mean, we mentioned Greenway and Krebs quite a bit, and Levi played well, but there's 11 different players, Paul, on the score sheet tonight in terms of a point. Tuck's the only one that had two with that empty net goal. So while the players that we gave some love to, I think, were definitely deserving, it was definitely, I think, one of those team wins in the column.
It was. I mean, there were a couple guys maybe who didn't play all that well, and I agree with Lindy Ruff. Benson tonight didn't look right to me either. I didn't disagree with that. I think Malenstein just got caught in numbers. I don't think. And the thing with Benson is, too, he had three consecutive shifts over a minute. That may have flagged Lindy Ruff, too. He's not a real fan of that. So that probably did not help his cause. You look throughout the lineup. Rasmus Dahlin is still not Rasmus Dahlin, but there wasn't that big turnover that cost him a goal or anything like that. I just feel he's not 100% yet, and until he gets to be 100%, we're not going to see an elite type of defenseman. But unlike maybe some other nights, he didn't hurt them. I mean, he was fine. It just, he's not really getting up into the play. I don't know if he's not able to. Defensively he was fine. And, it's just he's not him. I just don't think he's himself yet.
Paul, the calendar would say tonight's win was also important beyond the standings getting away from themselves. If they didn't get the win tonight, you got to sit on 0-4 all the way until Wednesday. That would have been tough mentally for this group.
Sure, and that would be two games in a row you didn't get rewarded for good play.
Yeah.
That happened against Los Angeles, but now you did get rewarded, and people are going to say, well, they didn't have Barkov and they didn't have Tkachuk. Well, the Sabres didn't have Peterka. That happens during the season. When good teams, and the Florida Panthers are still a good team even without those guys, but those are, let's face it, they're two best players. And, they were out without them. They didn't start their best goaltender. They played a goaltender who hadn't played in the NHL since February of 2023. So now he's a former number one pick, but he's had his problems and he needs to get back into things. And so, yeah, that helped the Sabres, but you can't sit there and say, well, that's why they won. They're still a pretty darn good hockey team. They still have a 57-goal scorer in Sam Reinhart. They still have some very good defensemen in Forsling and some others, and Ekblad and some others. But, you know, the Sabres got goaltending. The Panthers didn't. And I think the Sabres outworked the Panthers in this game and deserved the win.
Paul, before I let you go here, I want to give you the opportunity to speak about the news about Rob Rae tonight. He's going into the Buffalo Sabres Hall of Fame. We're going to replay your conversation with him that we had during the second and the third intermission, in between the second and the third tonight during intermission, for everybody that maybe was in attendance tonight that didn't get a chance to hear it. But how about just your take on the fact that he goes in?
Well, let me ask you first. He's in the booth next to you sometimes. Do you feel when he's there that you're now in a safe workplace?
You know what? Sometimes yes, sometimes no.
As Lindy Ruff put it?
Yes. It was a safe workroom. You know what? You're right. When he's up here for the radio-only games, it is comforting knowing that if a brawl broke out in the press box, that I feel like Rob would have our back. So that's good.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Lindy Ruff was good because Lindy Ruff was a teammate of Rob's, and he also was a coach of Rob's. And it's obvious Lindy, you know, watched a lot of Sabre hockey even when he wasn't here. He knows the interaction between RJ and Rob and how, you know, he's gotten better as a broadcaster as he's gone along. But I just think what he's meant to the community and to the fans, I mean, you know, he did his job and he did it very, very well. The fans loved watching him play. They loved watching him do his job. I mean, you know, people talk about they should take fighting out of hockey. Well, anytime I see a fight in the arena, I see a lot of fans screaming and yelling and enjoying it and have a good time. And, you know, I'm glad they took the line brawls out of it and the bench emptying brawls and the, well, we got both have to dress a fighter and now they got to fight each other even though nothing's happened and they're not mad at each other. I'm glad that's all out of the game. You know, he made his teammates feel comfortable on the ice. You know, the people weren't taking pot shots at his teammates because they knew there was going to be a price to pay between him and Brad May and Bugner and Barnaby and that whole group. You know, if something happened, they were going to have to deal with the rest of them. So, you know, he made guys feel comfortable. As I said, you know, what did he score, 41 goals or so as a professional hockey player in the NHL? And he scored on his very first shift in the NHL and his very last shift in the NHL, which not too many players have done. So, you know, that's an interesting fact about Rob Rae, too. But it's the community and what he does and how he spends his Thanksgiving giving back to people and how he spends his Christmas Eve giving back to people. And he still does to this day. And a lot of people may not know that because he doesn't want a thank you. He doesn't want it to be known. He doesn't do it for the accolades. He does it to help people out because he's in a position where he can help people out. And that's the type of person he is. He will help anybody out. He will do anything for you. You know, I when I had to go into the hospital for surgery, he said, "What time you want me at your house? Pick you up." I'm like, "Oh, you don't have to do that." He goes, "I didn't ask if I had to do it. I asked what time you want me there." And next day, he picked me up at the hospital and took me home. That's just the type of person he is. I mean, he showed up one September day with his equipment and power washed my house. You know, it was like, "Oh, hi." He didn't call and tell me he was coming. But, you know, there he was. I mean, he will do anything for people. And, you know, it's always bothered me that he wasn't in the Sabres Hall of Fame. And this is richly deserved.
Well said, Paul. I agree. Good job tonight, as always. Thank you. We will talk to you Wednesday with the Sabres in Pittsburgh.
Sounds good.
All right. Paul Hamilton here on our post-game show. 5-2 Buffalo, the score. We'll talk about this Penguins game in a moment upcoming. But Pat has rejoined us here. Super busy day on the scoreboard, Pat.
Yeah, and plenty of teams that the Sabres will be facing next week in action tonight as we take one last look around the league, brought to you by Fiegel, Carr, and Joyce, your border attorneys. They've gone midway through the third period in Dallas, where the Stars hold on to a 2-0 lead over the Islanders. 6:58 to go. Again, Dallas up 2-0 there. 9 minutes to go in the third period in Minnesota as Kirill Kaprizov scores his first of the season, but Jordan Eberle has a pair for the Kraken. Seattle and Minnesota tied at 3. Midway through the second period in Colorado, one of Buffalo's next opponents, the Blue Jackets, are in action against the Avalanche. Columbus with a 4-3 lead. Former Sabre Casey Mittelstadt scores his second of the season so far in a losing effort. Just underway, no score between the Flames and the Flyers in Calgary, while the Oilers and Blackhawks midway through the opening period, they are scoreless. Same for the Ducks and the Sharks. San Jose will be out without top pick Macklin Celebrini for at least the next 7 days, placed on injured reserve earlier today after an injury in the opening game against St. Louis. Finals from earlier on include the Bruins 2-1 winners over the Kings. That was an overtime win thanks to David Pastrnak's goal. Buffalo's next opponent, the Penguins, doubled up by Toronto 4-2 tonight. William Nylander, a pair of goals. Mitch Marner, 2 points, including one goal in that victory for Toronto in their home opener. The Canadiens, 4-1 winners over the Senators tonight, while the Red Wings shut out the Predators 3-0. Utah has moved to 3-0 on the season, scoring another overtime victory. This time, a 6-5 win over New York, over the Rangers, that is, in New York. The Devils, 5-3 winners over the Capitals. And due to Hurricane Milton, early in the week, it was announced that the Lightning and Hurricanes game scheduled for tonight has been postponed. That will be made up at a later date. Elsewhere in the AHL tonight, Rochester with a 4-1 win over Utica. Local college football news, UB scoring a 30-15 victory over Toledo earlier this afternoon in Amherst, while the Bills announcing their Saturday injury report. Ed Oliver, who did not practice all week with a hamstring injury, is officially out for the Bills' Monday night game in New York against the Jets, while James Cook, one of several players that is questionable, he was limited in practice after not practicing the last 2 days, limited today. Austin Johnson, Taron Johnson, and Khalil Shakir also join Cook as designated as questionable for Monday night's matchup, Brian.
In some guess, I guess, good news is that all those players you just mentioned get an extra day. Normally, obviously, a Sunday game Monday night. So maybe that'll give one or two of them an extra chance to get in.
And we know the Jets had coaching change, offensive coordinator, at least Nathaniel Hackett not calling the plays. So what does it look like? What kind of differences do you see in the Jets that you maybe might not see on film right now that heading into this one?
Yeah, you mentioned just a couple other things in the league. Utah winning. I thought Keller got the game winner. That was a fun atmosphere on, what was it?
Tuesday.
Tuesday night, yes, when the league season opened. They had the late game, and ESPN had their set there out in Utah. The building in the Delta Center looks a little funky when you see it set up. I know there's some obstruction view seats from the ends, but the crowd was certainly into it. It looked like a fun place to be on opening night.
Yeah, it reminds me a little bit of when the Islanders were in Brooklyn for a couple of years, and it's a basketball arena that's being retrofit for hockey. Seattle's a trendy place right now. They're trying to get expansion to Major League Baseball. They're really putting up a big push for that. Major League Baseball hasn't expanded yet, but they're going to. They get hockey. They have the Utah Jazz for basketball. They're going to host the Winter Olympics again, something they had in 2002, again coming up in, I think, 2036. So they're an up-and-coming sports city, so to speak, that has a lot of momentum and a lot of money behind it as well.
I know when I spoke with Bill Daly in Prague, the deputy commissioner, he mentioned expansion, and it wasn't if, it was another when discussion. Now, Atlanta seems to be in the Rumorville for that quite a bit, and a group that may be looking to build an arena kind of in the northern Atlanta suburbs. I know that's kind of where the Braves ballpark is, and they've had a lot of success there. I know Houston's been mentioned. Kansas City's been mentioned. I mean, there's obviously Quebec City, of course, will always come up in this argument from Canadians that want to get, you know, a team back there. The NHL, and Bill Daly said he doesn't think that quality of play would suffer. I know that was what he said to me when he talked about expansion.
Yeah, I'll disagree with him on that. And I also think 32 is the number.
Yeah.
It's an even number in terms of the league. Well, before you had Seattle in the league and before you had Vegas, it was a 30-team league.
Yeah.
And it's hard. Baseball right now kind of deals with the inequity of more teams in one league than the other. And now, even if you add one in each, you know, one division, especially when you have three teams automatically qualifying, if the playoffs stay the same,
yes,
and two wild cards, well, you put one division at a disadvantage because you have one extra team and not an extra playoff spot. So I think just looking at everything, 32 is the right number. And, you know, then the conversation of what other cities, like, to me, it shouldn't even be a conversation for hockey. For baseball, sure. For some other sports, you want to talk about expansion, maybe. But for hockey, 32 is probably as far as it should go.
NFL 32, NHL's 32. Is the NBA at 32? I think so.
I believe so.
Yeah. Baseball, 30.
30, which they're going to expand by two and get to 32, and everything will be even. Salt Lake is a trendy team, a trendy city that wasn't maybe in the conversation 4 or 5 years ago. Now it's definitely, I think, a favorite to potentially land a team in Major League Baseball.
And let's remember, a decade ago, there were no teams in Las Vegas, and now we're about to have three when the A's move.
Right, and I think that's where the NBA, if they expand, they can't be the only of the four major franchises. And WNBA is very successful there in the Aces, so basketball is well represented, but you can't be the NBA and be the only major sports league without a franchise there.
Yeah, I would agree. And the A's, what, will they play in Sacramento next year?
Next couple of seasons, the Tropicana was demolished just about a week ago to make room for the ballpark. To me, I'm waiting till that first stake goes in the ground and the rebar is laid, because until the cement is poured, I still don't know if that team is going to move there.
Could they stay in Sacramento?
I think they could go to one of the other places that's on the expansion list.
Yeah.
Or the
could be Salt Lake.
It could be Salt Lake and, you know, Nashville, Charlotte, all three of those cities that I just mentioned and we've talked about all have AAA teams right now and all could support and want to support Major League Baseball. So I think Salt Lake fits the bill of they're already out west and all those things. And Vegas probably, they're probably going to get it figured out, but a lot has gone wrong.
And I understand, obviously, some of these cities in terms of their economic power to big-time Major League sports is ahead of what Buffalo is. But just remembering my time as a kid, early 90s, late 80s, they built then Pilot Field with the hope of Major League Baseball. And the Bisons had all the checklists. I remember it was the strong ownership, the baseball-only ballpark, the grass field, all these sort of things. But ultimately, the TV market size and the corporate sponsorship is what lended the other cities to end up getting it over Buffalo. And that was probably the last chance, right? Right there?
It was. Yeah. And one thing, remember, also, I remember going to games as a kid, and this is something I've talked a lot about recently. After expansion, it was, the Bisons outdraw Houston, they outdraw Montreal, they outdraw a couple of cities, and their ownership isn't on steady ground. Could you pilfer one of those franchises? So, again, it's the expansion, the relocation talk that Buffalo, even though they didn't get the franchise that the Rockies, the Marlins, the Rays, and Diamondbacks got, there was a time where could it have worked out? And I think the answer was always no.
Yeah.
But it was fun to talk about, at least.
Yeah. And obviously the Buffalo Braves, we know, existed there and then just missed maybe the NBA taking off where it could have really maybe worked. Who knows? But nevertheless, we'll have expansion talk and, you know, whether they expand to hockey. If it goes to 34, that does seem like a lot. And the quality of play, the imbalance, I feel like if you go to 34, you have to then open up what the NBA does, which is get the play-in games for the tournament there to get more teams into the postseason.
And I think when you talk about Quebec City, going back to them for a second, I also think you have to talk about the economics of where the Canadian and American markets were in the 90s when Quebec and Winnipeg lost their franchises. You know, the teams were still paying out salaries in Canadian funds and having to deal with that. Now the dollar is a lot steadier. I mean, you know, when we were kids growing up, the American dollar was much imbalanced in our favor and really worked against Canadian ownership groups. I do think it could work in a place like Quebec City now, but again, to me, it almost has to be a relocation situation because of all the logistics and everything when you talk about adding two more teams.
Yeah, I mean, the cities that you could put it, I mean, geez. I mean, and who knows, do they want to try Arizona again? We know market size, it would argue to make sense, but it has failed, obviously, at a couple of cracks.
To me, it's Houston or nothing in that area of the country, because Now you're talking about, you know, you've got another one of the biggest markets in the country, in the world, in Houston. You've got Houston and Dallas. You've got a regional rivalry there. Can you have some big pockets for owners that probably could make it work and sustain the losses you're going
to
have?
Would you go back to Atlanta again? They've had two cracks.
You've had two chances.
The Flames and the Thrashers, right?
Yeah. And again, it comes back to the ownership conversation too.
Right.
And
ultimately, right, can the owners withstand years where they're not winning and maybe they're not making a lot of money?
And not having, like in Atlanta's situation, it was never a fan base that really took hold.
Yeah.
That's what's worked in Vegas. That's worked in Seattle. It'll probably work that way in Utah now with the relocation. But again, Arizona, the fan base, they had a fan base, but it was never big enough to really, and then the ownership always kept changing.
Yeah, I agree. Sabres win it 5-2 here as we close to putting a wrap on our postgame. We're going to take a timeout here. When we come back, we'll have Paul's conversation with Rob Ray, as he's announced tonight that he's going into the Buffalo Sabres Hall of Fame. So congratulations from all of us here to Rob, and the Sabres get their first win of the season, 5-2 over Florida. Pittsburgh coming up next, we know, on Wednesday at 7 o'clock with the Steve Foley Law pregame at 6. All right, timeout here.
And that's a radio-only game, I believe.
That is a radio-only game. I think it's TNT.
Yes.
So Dan and Rob. If you want to hear Rob Moore, yes, Dan and Rob Moore coming up. On our flagship WGR and along the Sabres radio network. Okay, Paul Hamilton's conversation with Rob Ray coming up here as the postgame rolls on following the Sabres' first win of the season. I'm Brian Colziel from KeyBank Center. We'll take a timeout. This is the Buffalo Sabres radio network. Welcome back to KeyBank Center. Final segment here on our postgame show. Buffalo victorious by a score of 5-2. Upcoming next, a game with Pittsburgh. It'll be on Wednesday at 7 o'clock. And for all of you listening on our flagship in Buffalo on WGR, we'll have the Steve Foley Law pregame show starting at 6 p.m. with Shope and the Bulldog that day. I hope you can be with us on Wednesday. And then, of course, we'll lead you up to Puck Drop with Dan and Rob on the call. Before we leave you here, though, from KeyBank Center tonight, a great moment announced earlier in the night. It was Ryan Miller and Dominic Hasek that did the video announcement here today on the Jumbotron, announcing that Rob Ray will be the next member of the Buffalo Sabres Hall of Fame. No date yet announced, but we'll, of course, get that info along to you as soon as we find out. But I think a no-brainer. I've gotten to know Rob quite well here from his time on the broadcast, and I think that it is extremely well-deserved, not only for his time as a player but as a broadcaster, but for all the work that he does in the community. I think kudos to Rob and a great decision for the Sabres organization. All right, let's hear Paul Hamilton. He got a chance to catch up with Rob earlier tonight and ask him what it's like to find out about this great accolade.
Rob, they called you special.
Really?
you're the new member of the Hall of Fame here, and if the fans don't know, I'm going to talk to the man who scored on his first shift in the National Hockey League and his last shift in the National Hockey League. I don't think there's too many players that can say that.
Yeah, top that, Gretzky and Lemieux, you know. Nah, it's pretty special. It's pretty, that's just a coincidence, but yeah, you know what, I'll tell you what, Paul, pretty darn proud and excited and honored. You know, I walk by this hall out there, the wall of everybody on it, you know, a million times, and look and look and look and, you know, respect the heck out of every one of those guys that are on there, and I'm just so proud to be a part of it now.
And you were, you know, beloved as a player, a broadcaster, but there's things that you do that I know a lot of people don't know, how you spend your Christmas Eves, you know, helping people, and you still do, and your Thanksgivings, and the things that you don't ask for accolades or anything like that. You just go out and do it. And being a big part of the community, I think, is part of it too.
Well, you know, I grew up in a town that had 1,200 people, and when somebody needed help, we went and helped them, whether it was build a house, build a barn, you know, bring in their crops or whatever it may be. So, you know, good upbringing in that part. And, you know, just coming here, there's a lot of guys that early in my career, like Mike Ramsey and Flino, and these guys really kind of gave you good direction on how to get involved with charity in town. And, you know, I love doing it. I seen that it could make a difference, and, you know, it made me happy that I continue to do it. Now it's, you don't do it for the accolades. You don't do it for the attention. you know, you do it to help out because we're fortunate, and if you can help anybody else out, then we're going to do it. And let's try to get the kids involved and show them that what's what it's all about. And over the years, it's, you know, it's cool, but we do the Christmas thing you're talking about. When we did it as young players, you know, going out on Christmas to hand out everything to the families. And the great thing is now we're all done and retired, and our kids have done it, and now they're bringing grandkids, our grandkids, you know, out to this. So that's the cool part when you sit back as players and, you know, you're seeing your kids and grandkids out there doing, you know, what you started. It's cool as heck.
I won't rush you. You're not a grandpa yet, I won't rush you.
I hope not. I don't know, but I better not be here.
Now, your daughter's away at school. Did you know she was back in town?
I did know she was back in town because it was, you know, the long weekend for them because of the Canadian Thanksgiving. But I was kind of questioning when she came home last night and said, hey, I want to go to the game tomorrow, because she's never asked me to go to a Sabre game in her life. So I was like, hey, no problem. Let's go. It's great. So my wife and son and my daughter were here, and it was great. It was great that they would be a part of it. And I'll tell you what, I said it on TV in between periods, and you know, hockey has given me an awful lot, you know, in my life. But probably the greatest thing it's given me is the chance to meet my wife and have a great family. And I'll tell you, I got the two greatest kids and the best wife a guy could have. And so life is good for me and family is great. And, you know, I thank the game for that.
What did it mean to play in front of these fans? I mean, Lindy talked the other day about when he – in the special times in here where this building was actually vibrating and shaking, you know, when maybe you're in the Stanley Cup Finals against the Dallas Stars, or when Breer and Drury were here and Finneganoff and those guys, where this place actually shakes. What does it mean to play in this town for these fans?
Well, they're a passionate fan, and it's an educated fan, too, on sports and hockey, you know, in general, that they respect when they see you do well, and they respect when they see you, you know, work hard. And when you're able to put them to that peak of excitement the way we were able to there for, you know, a number of years, then that's the greatest thing, because you see how big of a difference it makes in their lives and how excited they get. And it's something that, we were able to do that. We were a part of something that, you know, they looked at as something very special. And, you know, to this day, it's going to happen again, and I just it's just tough. There's kind of a whole generation here that haven't had that experience, but once they get that experience of a playoff game here in this building, you know, they'll be hooked for life like the rest of us are. So, yeah, it's the greatest thing. The fans here, it goes back to just them respecting and being so knowledgeable to the game. So when they're excited and they're cheering you on, that means you did something good. It's not just them in the crowd being told to yell and scream. They know that, you know, you've done something, and guys realize that. They understand it.
And finally, just a little bit about this game. What's the biggest thing that's kind of come out at you? Is it maybe the hard work of a guy like Jordan Greenway, who right now, if I was picking the three stars, would be my number one star. He worked hard for his goal, and I think he's worked hard all night. And Krebs on that goal worked hard. I've seen a lot of hard work. What have you seen?
Same thing. You know, Jack Quinn, you know, right that one of the first few shifts he had, he came exploding off the bench, man. He went 100 miles an hour into the corner, went to the front of the net, had a great opportunity, but everybody's doing it. And I think that kind of thing is contagious. When you're able to do that, and especially certain guys, then everybody's going to look at that and see, hey, I can do that as well. And you don't want to be the guy left out in that kind of thing. But I just, they're playing well. They're being aggressive. They're doing a lot of things. I think it's just a matter of calming down and just getting a little confidence to get started. And I think the more goals they can possibly score here, it just gets, I think we got 11 different guys on the scoreboard sheet right now or something like that. So, you know, just spreading that across the board, it means so much to them. Just a little bit of confidence can go an awful long way. And you got the last home game here before you got three road games that, you know, I think it's going to be much needed.
Congratulations. And now can we stop being nice to each other?
Yeah, Paul. Okay.
Congrats. Rob Ray, Brian, back to you.
Thank you very much, Paul, as our conversation there with Rob Ray in between the second and the third periods tonight. Sabres get it done by a score of 5-2 over Florida, and that'll put a wrap on our post-game show for tonight. We appreciate you listening. I want to thank our crew, Evan DePasquale, our network producer back in our Amherst studios. Thank you, Evan. Great job tonight. Our crew here at KeyBank Center, Pat Malacaro, Jonathan Colziel, Paul Hamilton, our reporter, And for our engineer, Tom Matty, and our game announcers, Dan Dunleavy and Rob Ray, my name is Brian Colziel. Final again, Sabres get their first win, 5-2 over Florida. We will talk to you Wednesday night with the Sabres and the Penguins from Pittsburgh right here on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network. Good night, everyone.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.